Hello, I want to thank you for joining me here today. I'd like to offer you my personal testimony, Ira, a watcher for the Lord. I went through alcoholism, drug addiction, and in 1994, Jesus Christ touched my life. As I laid on the floor in the hospital room at the rehab, he touched me and he took that alcoholism and drug addiction away from me. I'd like to share that with you. Of how when I was 18 years old, I had an experience with the Lord that is now growing into the largest faith-based ministry in the state of Pennsylvania, helping thousands of veterans, the mentally ill, inmates, and just homelessness in general. I would like to share this little book with you, plus many of my other books. You may contact me, Bishop Jack Weiser, 814-590-3898, 14530 Route 28 Brockway PA 15824. I have many other books I'd like to share with you also. All the proceeds go to help the poor and the needy in the state of Pennsylvania and beyond. Thank you. Hello, I'm Bishop Jack Weiser. Thank you for joining me to listen to the message that God has given me. I've been helping the poor and the needy for over 17 years, and it's time now that we open up our ears and we start listening to what really needs done throughout our land. The poor, the needy, the inmates, the elderly, our veterans, there's so many people in need. The end is here. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse on our land. It's time for the Christians to stand up, but we must learn first what's really happening. In my messages, you can learn what has taken place. You can learn how we can stand up together as Christians, as the bride of Christ, and make ready for the coming of our Lord. I'm excited to share this with you. There's a lot of new information in my videos, and I just ask that you just prayerfully seek God's guidance as you listen to these videos and listen to what God has for you. The homeless are growing, the mentally ill are being challenged in so many different ways. It's time for the church to be real and stand up now, but we need leaders. I'm here to try to lead and teach as God has led me for over 17 years to serve Him, and now having the largest faith-based homeless outreach ministry in Pennsylvania, helping thousands in need, and it is growing. It's time now that we can stand together as we hear God's word, learn together, and let it dwell in our hearts and spirit, that we may truly stand for our Lord, not ashamed, but excited and ready for the coming of our King. I hope He blesses you with these. Now, a couple things you have to notice: our God is a God of order. And if you notice on the Sermon on the Mount, even when you go to the greatest sermon ever preached, as Jesus goes through it, near the end of it, okay, not in the middle, at the beginning, near the end of it, He says in chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, verse 5, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Exactly what President Trump said today. Yeah, never should have started in the first place. You know, that's accusing. That's saying you, for some reason, you know, were wrong. No, it's not your fault. So don't. He doesn't understand what he's saying. But verse 6, it says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, and neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you." And I want you to notice that this is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, it's no different than his... He is so powerful, our God. He's teaching in a time period, dispensation. So as he goes through the Sermon on the Mount, he's telling you a lot of things in there as you read it. Then at the end, he says, when the end comes, don't throw pearls to swines. Okay? Don't do this. Don't cast that which is holy unto dogs. Okay, so that is the end time. Something you need to understand. That's coming out of the pulpits that you need, well, that isn't, but needs to be, that you need to be aware of and support that.
And what I mean by that is you need to be support ministers that are truly standing up for the least of these and helping them with their churches, opening them up, bringing them in, and making ready for the coming of the Lord. You're starting into a time now, anything short of that is blasphemy to God, is trampling the blood of Christ in the ground.
Yes.
Look, the church age is over. Your daily church religious leaders, Sunday services, you know, carrying on, isn't impressing God anymore. That day is ending. Wake up and get your head out of the churches and look around.
Amen.
That's what they need to do. Look what has happened to your communities, to your land. All you see anymore is ambulance running around in your small towns. You know, it's like the city around here anymore. Imagine, it's everywhere. It's all you see. What? We just still go. Christianity, and that's why it has to change. It has become the most self-centered, pacifying act, country club mentality to ever walk this earth. And Jesus says, it comes a time, yeah, you want to come in there and you're just going to throw my holy name? No, it's going to end. I have to end that.
Right.
You don't throw pearls to swines. People have heard it. They're going in and these over and over again, they're tickling their ears with this little Jesus message, and the people are just sitting there, they care less. Then they get back up and they go out and gossip, and as soon as they hit their vehicles, they're running the next person down. They're talking how they dress. Oh, so self-centered. And you do it over and over again. It's an outright blasphemy to Christ, the cross, and everything.
Amen.
How do you know that? Look around. Why don't you stop your car and take a look around at the world while you're bickering and gossiping after your service? You're dressed up in your suit and your fancy dresses. You got the children in the car and, you know, your little family thing like the church says. And then why don't you stop and take a look around at what's really happening out there? People dying, killing each other, the drugs, everything. Your president don't even know what he's talking about when it comes to the opiates. North Korea talking about all this. Oh, you just heard another Jesus message. People, it's all, this is, they're antiques is what they are. The minister today's are antiques. They're still preaching back out of the 1800s. That's what the seminaries taught them out of the 1800s. That's what they're preaching. They aren't even in this generation. They aren't keeping up to this generation. You don't know the difference. How are you going to know the difference? You're still stuck back in the egg with them. You're still back with grandma, grandpa, mom and dad told me about Jesus. I'm Baptist. I'm Methodist. I'm this. That's what happens to many people. No. This is a different time. Now, but the thing is, you have to accept that. You have to accept that time. Are you going to be ready? Maybe. I'm just tired of hearing it. I really am. Really tired of hearing it. You know, it's really something. You want to help the families, but the ones that don't make it, kick them to the street. We don't need to help them. You know what the warning is? Right now, you go into church, you go see how quickly families will get up and walk out. When the preacher starts standing up and says, look, you got the child, you're responsible for it. You're the one responsible for that child that's out there in opiates dying. People won't like hearing that. No, they won't, because that's not tickling my ears. You don't want to talk about it. You know how many churches fill themselves up with people right now? They're filled up with people. They look so nice and religious. They're doing God's work. Oh, but you don't know their heart. You don't know how many family members that they hate, they can't talk to, they won't talk to. You don't know all the people that they hate outside. Yeah, you're going to go in there and tell them about Jesus, aren't you? And the devils and demons are sitting there just laughing inside them. Their wicked hearts are just snickering and laughing because they don't want anything to do with Jesus. They would have. They would have had him by now. And if they would have had him by now, our communities and world wouldn't be in the condition that it's in.
Amen.
But they don't. No. It's all a game. It's all a show. It's all it is. It's a show. Oh, you're doing such a good work, and it's all good, and it's all a show. No, it's not. It's not good at all. It's wicked and deceitful.
Mm-hmm.
Those people, when they leave the church, they go back out, and they're all going their own ways, and they're all going right back to their deceit.
That's right.
Only to find out that they have either a cousin, good child, some relative out there that's a drunkard or died from opiates or in prison or in jail, and on and on. Boy, but when it comes to them, they want all of Jesus and everything Jesus has for them, right?
Hmm.
Yeah. Can't take care of our own. How in the world? So what do? You pull your lip up over your bottom lip up over your head and you swallow. That's what you do. It becomes so self-centered. I wouldn't try that. It wouldn't work. This is what you should want to hear if you want to see any hope at all for people out there
yes.
suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And you know something? You can hear this stuff. And there will always be, and here's how deceitful and wicked it is. Okay? Now I want you to remember something. You have to remember. As I'm saying this about deceitful and wicked, it sounds so horrible, doesn't it? But every single one of us has that deceitful, wicked heart. Okay, so when I'm talking about this, I'm not talking about hellfire, damned to hell. I'm talking about the deceitful, wicked heart that misleads people. And that's what you do. And all of a sudden, you can go in and you can tell people the truth like this. Bring it out there. Show them the hard-hitting stuff. And then afterwards, somebody or some minister or something will come along and just pacify you with some wonderful words about Jesus. And then, oh yeah, praise God, it sounds so good. Next thing you know, you forgot all about the opiates, and you forgot about, you know what? And you say, because it's all about Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Guess who Jesus is today? He's those people dying on opiates and in prisons, the least of
That's
these.
Right.
Oh, but yeah, it's about Jesus, about having him in your life as Lord and Savior, and that's it. Yeah, it's all about that. All of a sudden, you're nice and pacified. Glory to God in Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And off you go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do? Nobody does anything. Because we got Jesus. That's sick.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's sick. Well, actually, Jesus called it vomit. That's how sick it is. It's messed up. Preaching is showing and teaching people what to do after you're saved. After you're truly saved, how you need to live your life. Not by works, but how you should be doing it. What you should be standing up for. What you should be avoiding. What you should be standing up against. Most preachers out there are preaching themselves. That's what they're doing. They're preaching themselves. They don't have anything to show for their life but themselves. One of them you listen to is up on the Family Network station that I don't listen to. That Chip Ingram that's on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another fork tongue. Get him off there. I wrote him a letter. I said, get him off there. I can't stand to even listen to the man. Can't even stand to listen to him. And they let him on there constantly. Constantly.
Mm.
And it's okay. It's okay. you stand up for the homeless and needy like we do here, like I do, taking in the offenders, they don't even want you on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
But you can get a man like him on there, and all he does is, yeah, they tell me, Chip, you gotta go and do this, Chip. Yeah, Chip, you're a good man, Chip. And it's like, why do you have to keep saying your name over and over and over again in your messages?
Mm.
Chip.
Chip.
So that's why I won't listen to it anymore. I used to listen to it all the time and do voice at it. And then once, because I just can't, it just sickens my stomach. I'd rather listen to 106 than Snakes and Vipers. And that's about all it is anymore. And that's why. And you need to get fed up with it too. You really do. You're in a whole new dispensation, people. You're going in. You're going to be one of the first ones to hear it, whether you accept it or not. I don't care. Ministers don't know what to do. Isn't that enough evidence for you? For God's sake, people. People are dying out there every day in the streets. They're rotting to death. And ministers don't know what to do. Your president don't know what to do. The Department of Corrections don't know what to do. What is it going to take to get someone's attention? What? You have a major opiate. People dying. Terrible deaths. Family disaster. And he's looking at North Korea to put on a show. Because he don't have an answer. What? He don't have an answer. Neither do the ministers. They don't have an answer because they aren't ordained in any way whatsoever to have the answer. They don't know it.
Amen.
Amen.
Boy, the church is in some hot water.
Mm-hmm.
They're like that frog boiling. It's going to be a slow death. And they're going to find out that when it's too late, once that temperature is too hard, right at the dying point, it's too late. There's no way getting out of that water. You're done. That's what's happening to the church. You know, I don't know. You can understand this or not, but people, a lot of people out there do have a little bit of smarts and common sense. And it's pretty hard for anybody who has a little bit of compassion in their heart and common sense to tell them they need Christ in their heart because he loves and forgive you. And then they look on the news and they see all these deaths and disasters. Man. What? If this Jesus, God, is so, well, why is it like this? You better be able to provide the right answer. Because if you're not, you're just throwing pearls to swines. You're casting holy things to dogs. And they'll turn and attack you. If you are being attacked right now for what you're doing for Christ, you're more likely not doing the right thing. You're in a different time, people. It's called the kingdom of heaven, the dispensation of the kingdom of heaven. Now, listen carefully. When you read the Bible is so powerful, it's a book of order. And if you read through the parables carefully and you pay attention to the parables and the book of Revelation, and I'm not going to get into both. I've been in through all this Bible studies years after years after years on the book of Revelation. But notice something. Jesus first in Matthew 24, 23, the first thing he does. Now, there's a time period, just like it is with the church age. And the same thing. Jesus came along, and he demonstrated the respect he had for his mother. He demonstrated friendship with apostles as he picked them, etc. Then he comes along and he heals. He comes along, he eats with people, he drinks with people, he works with people, he teaches people. And he's showing the church age, just like we had to learn. We had to learn how to go out and build the churches and everything. And as he continues on, he starts healing more, then they start testing him. They start taking the adulterous woman thrown at his feet. They start questioning him about the people who had leprosy and disease that was because of their sin, but he healed them anyhow. And then they started to, up the ante a little bit, raise the bar. They turned the heat up on him, but he kept going and kept going. And that's how the church age would be. The church would have to fight and be attacked and have to go through. And as it come closer to the cross, so too did the opposition. Just like today. Christianity being attacked, martyrs, people being killed, etc. But something happened, see. When Jesus came close to the cross, he was beat down. He became very weak. The church had become very weak. No difference. See his life. So the church was beat down. And what is it? And he's beat down and beat down, but he was the only one that was going to conquer the devastation of death. And we know that. The church is no different. The church is dying. Mm-hmm. But Christ died for that. So that his plan will be fulfilled. And you know that of the message of the cross. But as you go through the Gospels, you see in Matthew 23. He comes along, all of a sudden after he's healing and doing all that, the opposition is getting tough, etc. All of a sudden, chapter 23, he looks at the Pharisees. And you can read the woes of the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. He looks at the church leaders. Now you're starting to see where the dispensation is taking place. He's showing us what it's going to look like and what it should look like when the dispensation of grace goes into the kingdom. And so you're seeing in Matthew 23, he's coming up to the Pharisees. He's saying, "Woe you Pharisees! Woe you Pharisees! You religious leaders! Look what you're doing in your church!
Right, 7-0.
Look what you're doing in your church!" And you can read all Matthew 23. Now he's telling them. I want you to notice something. Jesus even points out something. Matthew 23, the first few verses. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." Where? You know what he's saying there? They're sitting in the dispensation of the law. They aren't accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. So they haven't stepped over to the dispensation of grace. "All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." So what he's saying is, okay, the law, every word, jot and tittle, never change. So what they say out of the scripture, always listen to. But what they do, don't do it. So this is transitioning from this religious Pharisee, the law, into the dispensation of grace. That's Jesus going to the cross. Mm-hmm. And he tells them that. And he starts on them, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." Oh yeah, do you see them? The ministers will get up there and they might preach a sermon on what you should do, but they aren't out there doing it.
Right.
They aren't setting the example.
Yeah. Right.
They aren't doing anything. They might once in a while, but they aren't doing anything.
Yeah.
They should be behind a pulpit.
Right.
Amen.
This is what the Pharisees were doing. And Jesus went from the dispensation of the law. And this is what's happening. So what did he do? He gave them a warning. And this was the warning. At the end of that warning, he says, in Matthew 23, he says, verse 33, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?"
Mm-hmm.
There's a warning now.
Right.
Jesus went from teaching love and forgiveness, that must believe in me as Lord and Savior, etc. Now, he went from that to, How are you going to escape the damnation of hell? You better wake up, you better wise up.
Amen.
So now you see how this is coming from along in the scripture. Now watch what happens. He keeps going and he tells them, Matthew 23, down at the end, verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killed the prophets and stoned them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, for I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So you see, he's going from the dispensation of grace, and he's showing us that, and he's showing the Pharisees and religious leaders here, the process, if you will, of going into the dispensation of the kingdom. Okay? And this is how powerful the Bible is. Now watch what happens. If you flip over and you keep going, what he tells us about next? The end of the world. So right after that, all of a sudden what happened? Jesus was preaching for years about salvation, love, and forgiveness. Now all of a sudden he said, how are you going to escape the damnation of hell? This is what's coming and this is what's going to be. So here it is. So if you read that, you're going to begin to see. He will tell you, starting at verse 4, chapter 44, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. There it is. So wait a minute. All of a sudden, he's saying to the church, a day is coming when my dispensation of grace, the day of grace that I died for, 1,500, 2,000 years, okay, when that comes, is going to transition into the kingdom of God. And you must be able to understand when that day comes and not be deceived. You can't let your heart deceive you. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Here you are, you're in rumors of wars. You got a president that's putting Jesus under North Korea and blowing him up. Okay? Remember, these are the least of these. Matthew 25, 31 to 46. And as much you've done this, the least of these, you've done it to me. Keep reading there. Now watch what happens. He warns us about what's going to happen. You can read the end of it. You can read the coming of the Son of Man. So he's telling us what to look for. And he tells us here, over in verse 30, he says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Now notice, he didn't say, and then shall appear the Son of Man in heaven. He said, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven.
All right.
Don't look up, look here. Heaven is here among you. He says, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. What is the sign of the Son of Man? He gave it to us. It's coming up in Matthew 25. And he says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So, you see, you're going to see the sign of the Son of Man. What did he say in Matthew 25 it looked like? I was hungry, you fed me, thirsty, you gave me a drink, a stranger, you took me in. A time when starvation, hunger, drug addiction, all this never should be, is the sign of the Son of Man. And Jesus said, as much as you do to the least of these, you've done it to me. That's the sign of the Son of Man. Do you want to see it or not? Because if you don't, you're not going to see God. Not going to happen. Now watch. Jump down to verse 32. Look how simple he makes it. He says, now why the parable of the fig tree, which is branches yet tender, putteth forth leaves? You know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation will not pass away till these things be fulfilled. That's the generation of the Jews. But notice, he said, you can see the signs if you want. But if you're not taught what they are, and they aren't brought to your face, then how are you ever going to know? And then if they are brought to your face, then you don't want them, you think you have another answer, then fine. There's nothing more I can do about it. So there, now, he's moving us along. So all of a sudden, Jesus goes from teaching love and forgiveness and eternal life, and you've got to accept Him as Lord and Savior. He goes from that, and he's starting to now tell you what it's going to look like in the whole picture of the dispensation. Now, as he continues on, he even talks about his coming and so on. And then I want you to notice, right after that, and I'm not talking on this one tonight, I'm going to the next one, in verse 25, Matthew 25, right before the Great White Throne Judgment, what's the first parable he talks about? The 10 virgins. So he comes out, and he immediately after that, he says, you better be ready, you better be wise. See, you better want to listen and want to hear. You better quit getting your ears tickled with these ministers out there telling you, look, Jesus in your heart is Lord and Savior. No, you better have the Holy Ghost. You better have the oil with you. You better get that out of your
right.
head, people. How many times have you heard that? How many times? The last thing, you know what? You want to go out, everyone's go out there and tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about Jesus. Go tell somebody about it. I've had people come up to me and I say, have you ever accepted Christ in your heart as Lord and Savior? Well, no, I have. Yes, you have. You're just telling me what I want to hear. And I know that. Don't throw pearls to swine. These days are over. They're ended. You're trapped with the blood of this holy man in the ground by playing games with them.
Amen.
Those people out in the street, they heard about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to give you the time of day because they think they can get something from you.
Huh.
Yep.
They think if they'll listen to you, go through your little sinner's prayer speak, spiel to them and carry on, maybe they'll get some money, a meal, or something from you. They're users. We turned them into that.
Mm.
Face the truth, people. The days are over.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Want to get out there? Bring them in. I'll bring them all in. Go out there and go in Pittsburgh. Let's bring in all the people. Let's have a good old sermon with them and tell them all about Jesus. Oh, you'll get them saved. They'll come forward and say, yeah, I'm saved. Let's go back in a month and see just how saved they are.
Mm. Be honest.
You know, it's time to wake up. It's time to get the armor on. You're going into battle, people. This is no more than a tickle your game, just like Jesus did. He started into that battle the moment he went to the garden and he accepted it.
Mm-hmm.
People, we're in that garden. We're ready to go. The church is dying.
Right.
And you got a bunch of fork-tongued, small-A Antichrist ministers behind pulpits, misleading, deceiving, and making your deceitful, wicked heart lead you in ways you never should be.
Talk to us.
You're taking innocent people who want to serve Christ, and you're getting them out there doing things that aren't needed. You got people dying in your community, man.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, as we sit here, there's probably someone dying. Who knows? Ridgeway, Dubois, Pumpsy, Brookville,
so,
from an overdose.
Mm-hmm.
Right now. Right now. Oh, you can believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. So Jesus comes along. He tells about the virgin. He says, look, you better be ready. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's over. You don't know when I'm coming. It's over. What are you going to do, huh? You Bible thumpers out there want to say, when
get
Jesus comes, you're going to say, hey, wait a minute here. I didn't get to this person. I got to tell them about you.
Huh?
No, you're not. God knows. He knows when it's time.
Huh.
When it's time, he knows everybody had an opportunity. Not because you think so. Not because some minister says everybody has to hear it.
Huh.
God knows.
Amen.
Quit trying to be God. God says, live for me. Live for me. That's it. That's our easy way out. We think the easy way out is going, preaching the gospel to somebody. Tell somebody about the gospel. Now, you're out of that time. The gospel should go with you everywhere you go. Now, people, you got a mess on your hands. And the church today will be responsible for it. So here, then I want you to know, as soon as he goes and he talks about the 10 virgins, and afterwards, in verse 11, 25, 11, afterward came also the Lord, also the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I said to you, I know you not. That's what many is going to hear. I know you're not. But many will say, but Lord, Lord, profess your name. We cast out devils. See, we were witnessing. He's going to say, no, you missed the whole time, people.
You missed the time and the warning.
It. And that's where Ezekiel said, the blood will be on your shoulders and the blood will be on the minister's shoulders. And that's why I always like what Charles Spurgeon said. There'll be many congregations in the fire of hell, and when their minister comes walking in, they'll be hissing with their forked tongue, saying, come on, minister, tickle our ears with another one of your wonderful sermons. Look where it's gotten us.
Mm-hmm.
Those days are over. The church let God fade away.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You can't blame society. The church let God fade away.
That's
right.
You know
why? Because God got sick and tired of seeing a bunch of false prophets, a bunch of false ministers, just because they thought they went to cemetery school that they could get behind a pulpit and preach. And they're going to the cemetery school and just preaching old school stuff that doesn't even apply to this day and age at all. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to pick up right before the Great White Throne Judgment.
Mm-hmm.
This is right before. So God is teaching us all this right up to it. It's so powerful. It really is. Matthew 25. And notice what he says. This is what it's going to be like. Transitioning from the dispensation of grace into the dispensation of the kingdom of God. There's a transitioning point of his coming. And what does he say in verse 14? For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. That's he saying. The dispensation, now watch. He's saying that when it begins, the dispensation begins of the church age. When the church age is going to end, and the dispensation of the coming of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ, is going to begin. Who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took a journey. So Jesus came through the dispensation of grace. And what did he do? He gave us love, forgiveness, eternal life, okay, to those who wanted it. He gave us a message and taught us a lesson of life to live that would show him as Lord and Savior. And he gave to every one of us that wanted it, that. And then he left. And that's what happened here. How shall I liken the kingdom of heaven? What's going to determine this ushering in of the dispensation of the kingdom? It got very ugly. Never thought it was going to be like that. We're supposed to be better than ourselves as human beings, aren't we? Really?
Supposedly.
We're supposed to be better than ourselves as human beings, not killing ourselves with drugs and everything else like it is today. The love of many lacks cold. We stab people, shoot people, kill people. It doesn't matter. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. So here are the people that received from the Lord and actually went out and lived his life according to his teachings. Not according to a religion, not according to some minister's dogma or denomination, not according to what they wanted. They went out and took what Christ gave them, his love and forgiveness, according to his teachings, and used it and benefited from it because others were helped. According to Christ's teachings. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. That's what a lot, that's what the church has done. Take it and hide it. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. That's the day of reckoning. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Jesus said it's coming. The day of reckoning is coming. And it's all. He's bringing us right up to the throne of God, right up to the great white throne judgment, right into the kingdom. It's no different than today. Why? Because he said the dispensation of the kingdom is going to start on earth right now. How shall I liken the kingdom of heaven? It's as a man. It's right here and now. That transition he's going to go through, just like John the Baptist transitioned from the law to the grace. We are transitioning from the grace to the wrath of God. That's what's happening right now. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so, he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. For thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. See, then you're going to see the transition go right in. Why? Because you have been faithful. Now you have to stop there. What does that word faithful mean? Faithful means to resemble, to be like. Mm-hmm. He didn't say anything about the money. He said, you have went out and lived my life. You didn't go out and say, I'm in your heart, I'm in there, I got Jesus in my heart. You went out and you lived my life. You were faithful with what I gave you. That little bit of life of mine that I gave you that you could understand, you went out and lived it. That's why he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It's Jesus in your life. Don't worry about being in your heart. You profess from the heart. It's he in your life. That's why. Look, don't worry about having eternal life. Do you have everlasting life? Read John 3:16-18 again. Do you have everlasting life? Eternal life is the quality of it. Do you have everlasting life? Oh, I've got eternal life. Oh, do you? That means you resemble God. Do you have everlasting life? That's what Jesus died for. He died for everlasting life that will never die, that will always be with him. Do you have that? Well, then you better have the life of Christ. That's what you better have. Not because you say so, but because it's reflected somehow in your life to fulfill Matthew 25:31-46. You have no excuses now. None. Unless you want some other ministry, some other dogma, some other seminary, some other cemetery, some other way to come out and tell you, no, there's something more. I'm sorry, this Bible has Matthew 25:31-46 as clear as can be. There's nothing else. You can read it for yourself. So he says, look, you've been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, the mansion I have built you. You're going to come in and you are going to be able to stand with me. He also, that had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents. Beside them, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So it really didn't matter if he had 5 or 2. He still went out with that life that God showed him, Jesus Christ, the life, and he used it. This isn't works. No, this is a true life change, salvation, that has been lacking because of small a Antichrist ministers who have people believing because you say you have Jesus in your heart, you are saved. No, you are saved because this man died for you on the cross to give you a new life. That's why. Not because you say. See, you can say, I profess from my heart that Jesus is Lord, but your life better reflect it, or it's nothing but words. And you're going to say, but Lord, Lord, I profess your name. I cast out devils. He's going to say, I don't know you. You were deceived wickedly. You weren't taught how to live my life. Seriously, you've been in different churches. Huh? You go in on a Sunday morning, you hear a message, and go away. What more does that minister teach you about living Christ's life? No, not his life according to his cemetery. You know, having a Bible study or bringing in certain books. Or that stuff has proven useless. Mm-hmm. Look at the world. Look at the world around you. Not because I say, just look at the world around you. All that turns the church into a little clique of self-centered little devils that think they know Jesus. And they want to sit around a table and see who can act the smartest or talk the smartest or quote the most scriptures or have the next golden nugget. Mm. Christ really doesn't care. Because he's looking at the major opiate epidemic, mass incarceration, murders, abuse, and the list goes on. And he's just shaking his head. Well, I can show you what other ministers are doing, driving by those churches with homeless living around them. Just like the Good Samaritan, the Levite, and the priest. Jesus even gave them a fair warning about that. You'd be surprised that he was received in one talent, came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not straw. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Wait a minute, Jesus isn't a hard man, is he? He sure is. I'm sorry if you've been deceitfully and wickedly misled to think that he isn't. See, that's called self-centeredness. That, oh boy, I'm all saved and I'm good and it's all wonderful and I'm going to heaven. And once again, Jesus is saying, hey, whoa. It's not because you think so. Because you know this life. Yeah, but that's the way we're taught. That's the way people think. Your profession of faith, people, is to tell somebody else that Jesus is real. Ministers turn it into, because you say it, you're going to heaven. No, that's all it's about. See, that will enable you to be saved from the wrath of God when it hits the earth. But when you stand before Him, you won't have eternal life. That's a goat, and He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. The power of the name Jesus will get you to the throne. You'll be able to stand there, but you're going into the kingdom of God. Because it's in the dispensation. You did not do what was needed for the dispensation to be fulfilled, called sanctification, to get into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Father. You failed it. You didn't fulfill it. See, you're misled. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do. He wants to mislead us deceitfully and wickedly through the dispensation of every generation. That's how he wants to get your soul in hell. He wants to get you to say, through emotional purposes, oh, I said the sinner's prayer and I'm saved. Yeah, you said it. You believe in Jesus, your Lord and Savior. Yes, I do, and I'm saved. Do you believe he died on the cross? Yeah, I believe he died on the cross for you. Yep. Okay. And the person walks away and you think, just because I said all that, I'm going to heaven. No, you're not. No. You find that in there. You're not going to find it anywhere in the Bible. No, you're not. But Jesus said, you better give up your life for my life. Did you let Jesus in your life? That's the question. Now see, the example of that is that thief on the cross, to keep it simple. That thief on the cross never said the sinner's prayer, did he? Did that thief on the cross say, Jesus, come into my heart?
Nope.
No, he didn't, did he? Did he have communion? No. Was he baptized? No. Was all that? No. Do you know that man, that sinner on the cross, can you imagine this? He was the first person by Christ's words declared to be in heaven, a Christian as a witness.
He never
got to tell anybody. Isn't that great? And not only did he get to tell anybody, his feet never got to touch the ground. And he had that. He never got to tell anybody, but he never said the sinner's prayer. He wasn't a religion. But what he did, and he was railing on Jesus. He believed in him, but he was railing on with the other one. They were back and forth. Like we're doing today. We're no different as the church. And all of a sudden, something happened to that man. It's almost like, you remember the Grinch? Remember the Grinch up there on the peak of the hill with his little dog? That poor little thing, you know, on the sled. and up, and all of a sudden the Grinch's heart started to grow. Remember? Well, that's what I think about. But that thief looked over, and all of a sudden, what did he say? He looked over and he said, "You have done nothing wrong." He just reflected on this man's life. He looked at Jesus and he realized, what I have done is wrong, is sin, but your life, Jesus, you have done nothing wrong.
Amen.
That was his salvation. It wasn't in the heart, it was in his life. This man knew that life right there is what the world needs. And he realized it, and he declared it to Christ, said, "Jesus, you've done nothing wrong. Remember me." And Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Do you remember his life every day? You don't have to use words. If you're remembering Jesus Christ every day, his life, and living it, you don't have to tell people what's in your heart. You don't have to. When you profess from the heart, means you are living his life. You're showing his life. Okay? You already say it. Yeah, I believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's it. But it's in your life. It's not because you're saying it. It's because it's a life you're living. It's in here. You can't make that happen as a minister. You can't make that happen as a denomination. You can't make that happen in any way. That has to be from God to you personally. It has to be. I can come up and I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you, let Jesus into your heart. But I'm also going to say, now you must live his life.
Amen.
I can only tell you. The rest is up to you.
Amen.
Because we're being deceitfully and wickedly misled. Now watch, he comes and he says, "But Jesus, you're a hard man." You're darn right he is. Jesus was a very hard man. And if you'd be here right now, you would annihilate us. It's time to get hard again, people. That's what the ministers need to do. Jesus came to the leaders and he said, "You snakes, you vipers. You're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. Look what you're doing." This is the day we're in right now. Why is Jesus doing it? To save souls. You go right ahead and continue. We continue. People, you continue to let these ministers out there doing it. You're going to continue to see more death. You're going to continue to see. Literally, you don't see the spiritual side. Your souls are going to hell, people. How are you going to go to God? "Oh, I got these people saved. Go ahead and pray." And he's going to say, "Look, there's hundreds of thousands that died with needles in their arm. What are you talking about? You have 30 churches closed up down here with 10 cities where people are living in disgusting situations. Harrisburg." And he's going to say, "What? And you're out there telling perfectly healthy people about me? They knew about me. They were told about me. They've been told about me all their lives. And they don't want me. And you're wasting your time. But yet, you don't want to go down to me. You don't want to come down to my level," is what Jesus said. "You don't want to see me."
Amen.
Amen.
"And as much as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me."
Right.
Nobody wants
right.
to see Jesus today, just like the Pharisees didn't want to see him in the dispensation of grace. He said to the disciples, "I come to you," but they're sitting on the seat of Moses. They're still in the dispensation of law. They don't want to see me. I showed them healings. I showed them love. I showed them forgiveness. I showed them how to feed. They don't want to see me. So he comes to and says, "You hypocrites, you snakes, you vipers." It's no different today. Jesus is here today. How? He said what it would look like. The poor would be with you. Starvation, hunger, prison's filled. Nobody wants to see it, do they? Same thing. So now, before the coming of Christ, the warning has to get out. People need to be warned. You snakes, you vipers, how are you going to escape the damnation of hell? The Lord is coming. Don't you think it's a dispensation change? This isn't church anymore.
Amen.
People are dying out there. There's a war taking place, all right? And Satan's having a field day. Your loved ones are involved, family members, friends. There's people out there. You're darn right. It's going to touch every family. It's going to touch all people out there. You better start caring, because it's going to get ugly. And a lot of people want to ignore it, just like they did prior to the 50s, when they put their retarded children down in the basement or up in the attic, because they did not want to see society to see them. It's the same thing that's happening today. Mm-hmm. You want to hide the fact. Oh, I can tell you of ministers that come to me because their sons or daughters were drunkards or addicts and they didn't want the church to know. Mm-hmm. But they wanted me to help. Mm-hmm. Oh, I was worthy to do that. But as soon as I started this ministry, the fork-tongued vipers turned their back on me and left. They don't want anything to do with you.
Right.
Just like they didn't want anything to do with their own family. Mm-hmm. And Christ isn't going to want anything to do with them either.
Amen.
They cover it up. But boy, they'll tickle ears. You get them in a conversation, they'll tell you how much they love Jesus and how much Jesus loves that child that they're an addict or whatever. And, oh yeah, they'll say it. But then when they leave, they don't want anything to do with the person. Because it makes them look bad. Can't bring that into our congregation and make millions. I don't want any part of it. I don't. I'd rather just stay out there in the shop and just keep rearranging tools every day. Than to be a part of that stuff. And I was afraid. And went and hid by telling him, you're low. There thou hast that is thine. You're afraid. Yeah, that's right, you're afraid. Jesus, a hard man. Huh? You're afraid to go out there to churches and help people. You're afraid to get out there and do something about this opiate mess. The homelessness mess. You don't want anything to do. What are you afraid of? Ruin your reputation? You won't look good? Is that what you're afraid of? Sure, the church is afraid of that. We don't want those people in our church. It won't look good. Well, they're already in it. They just color up real good. We don't want those SOs in our town. They're already there. Mm-hmm. We don't want those criminals in our town. They're already there.
Right.
You know what? You want to act like that? God says, I'll fill your towns up with opiate addictions. Now they're there. I suppose you don't want them there either. It's sad. We're in a mess, and we deserve what we're getting, especially the church. Ministerial meetings that they have in their town, they should be ashamed of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing but a bunch of vipers sitting around a table and patting each other on the shoulder and doing what? If they were doing anything, then why do we have our children dropping over dead? If they're doing anything, why is the government bringing in, legalizing everything right in front of their noses and they care less? Now you can get alcohol anywhere. Now you're probably going to the grocery store everywhere. Oh, I guess like the president said, huh? You shouldn't start in the first place. I guess that's the answer, huh? Verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reaped where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou wantest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I shall receive my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which has 10 talents. For unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what comes next? The great white throne judgment. What that is God put in your heart, like we talked about. You have that good part, you have the deceitful, wicked part. That good part is there, but it's never used. You take it like a little coward, and you go and hide it in the ground. You don't want to serve Him. You don't want to truly live for Jesus. You don't want to do it, and you hide it in the ground. And that's what God says. That's what the eternal hell is and hellfire. He's going to take what He gave you away from you, and you will never be able to know Him again. You will only know His wrath that's to come, and that's it. This idea of people going around saying you'll be separated from God for eternity. No, you won't. You're going to be in His wrath for eternity.
Amen.
You're going to be separated from the love of God. That's correct. Yes, you will. But you will be in God's wrath according to this Bible for everlasting life. And He will take that little pearl that He put in your heart that you never used, that He put there. You can say it all you want. You can say his name all you want. You can talk all you want. But if you do not have the life of Christ, it's useless. And he's going to say, you wicked servant, you fell for a deceitful, wicked heart. You let your deceitful, wicked heart lead you constantly. You didn't want me? Then therefore, you're not going to have me. And then he's going to take that little bit from you. And remember I talked about death? Death's going to be there. And death does not care. Remember? We all want an agreement with death. You know what? Death really doesn't care about your agreement with him. He doesn't care how healthy you try to be. He doesn't care how many vitamins you take, how far you run, how many doctors you have. He doesn't care about your bloodline. He doesn't care. He says, I'm going to be there when you take your last breath, period, and I'm going to drag your soul into the pits of hell. That's what I'm going to do, he said. And you're not going to stop it. I don't care how you try it. You're not going to do it. But there is one man. He came a long time ago. He came as a little child. He grew up, and he taught how to love, how to forgive. He taught how to go among people and teach them how to take care of each other, how to accept each other, how to help the poor when they need it. He was a man that was hated by his own family, hated by the Pharisees, hated by the community. A man that grew up named Jesus Christ and looked at every one of you, looked at your souls, looked deep in your souls, and he died for your eternal, everlasting life. He was a man that looked at the Father and he pleaded for you, for your innocence. He was a man that hung on a cross and he was bleeding, hurt, pain. Sin was coming down on him and he thought about you. Every single bit of you he thought about. And all he asked was live my life. All he asked was do for me what I've done for you. He was a man that gazed into the Father's eyes and thought about you for everlasting life. He was a man that cried out for your very soul that the moment death comes to grab your soul, he is going to stand up and he is going to say, no, this is my child. This child will be with me for everlasting life. You're mine because it will be a life. No, we aren't perfect. No, we aren't good enough. But Christ says they wanted me badly in their heart. They wanted to serve me in their heart. And I acknowledge that. And you aren't touching this child. And you'll never have to worry about death again. Unless you're lazy and wicked. Maybe you don't want them. Maybe you're afraid. He said you should at least take what I had and give it to somebody else. Why don't you just take what I had, denounce me, just get rid of me out of your life. Just say that I don't exist is what you should have done. Ready for your last breath? I hope you are. You don't have to tell me or anyone else. It better be in your life. You better have a desire in your heart to serve that good part that you know is there. Going to make you perfect? Absolutely not. Is it going to make you prim and proper? Absolutely not. It's going to make you just like that thief. It's going to make you know that the life of that man is what the world needs, and that's all you know, and it burns inside of you. Church has come along and made that life into something that God himself doesn't recognize. Religion is not a life. Not at all. Immediately after this, he makes it very clear what the day will look like. The day is going to look like people, some ready, some not, the 10 virgins, as you begin to see it transitioning into the kingdom of heaven, the coming of Christ. You're going to see where people are professing Christ, but they aren't ready. You're going to see people out there that have tried and are trying, and then you're going to see the ones that profess to be, but they aren't. They have their head hidden in the ground like an ostrich. Now, that's today. Verse 31, Matthew 25, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. You're not going to get out of this, people. It will happen. The second part of this, which is the same, is in the book of Revelation. When all the dead will rise, and so on. I'm not going into that now. But you will see that you will stand there before God, the sheep and the goats. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The dispensation now of the kingdom of God takes place, see? It's the next one and last one. And now's what he's going to say. Now he goes from the transition. What we just talked about, from the kingdom of grace to the kingdom of heaven, what we're in. And now he's going to say, now we're entering into the kingdom of God forever. Eternal everlasting life. But notice there's a process. This is what he died for. I'm sorry that you have to be living in this time. We could have went back in one of the other dispensations and lived. Like we talked about the other night. I told you that you should, you know, if we were in there, that's what we were responsible for. We would have been responsible for the dispensation of the promise, dispensation of the law, dispensation of innocence. You know, that would be our responsibility. Dispensation of grace. But we just so happen to be going through the transition from the dispensation of grace to the dispensation of the kingdom of heaven. Come on, think about it, people. You got a man, Jesus Christ, to come along. What was he supposed to be preaching? Love and forgiveness, right, Pete? And there's John. I can't wait to meet John the Baptist. He's one person I really want to meet. I think he's a pretty cool dude. But here's somebody, you know, Jesus is coming along preaching that, and you've got John the Baptist out there, this man in camel hair. You know, you can imagine what he looks like, and he's just damning everybody. He's led them out of the house at the root of the tree. How are you going to escape the damnation, you brood of vipers? And here Jesus is supposed to be all lovey-dovey. Come on, people. You're smarter than that. He didn't rebuke John, did he? No. Jesus walks up to John and says, Baptize me. Now do you understand why John said, Wait a minute. Me baptize you? I'm a nut, Jesus. He was doing what God said because he was going through the transition. He was going from the transition of the kingdom of grace into the kingdom of the law into the kingdom of grace. So John was called as that messenger to bring that in. And what was he doing? He was letting them have it. And then here comes Jesus in to slowly usher in the kingdom of grace, which he did. Now here we are, and we're ready. Look around, you can see. We're going now into the kingdom of heaven. We need to stand up and be that peculiar people. There's not going to be many messengers out there. But when you find one preaching on this, you better understand it.
Amen.
You will hear it more. But it's not going to be a lot. Because this is going to go right against all these mega churches and everything that Satan wants. But you know, you will be victorious. You better support it. You better be behind it. You better be hearing it. And just like the thief on the cross, all you got to know is it's right. You might not be able to do much about it. But you got to know in your heart that it's right. People need cared for. The true message of Christ needs lifted up now. Not religion, not church. It's failed.
Amen.
You have the mainline Catholic Church falling, and it's going to take another huge hit. You just don't know it yet. You got a huge case coming out of hundreds of children that were molested. Hundreds in the Catholic Church, and they're building that case. When it hits, look out. The Catholic Church right now is already losing thousands and thousands of people. They're closing the churches down, people. It's over. on this list. Three of the priests were out of state college, if I'm correct on that. Three, this close. People, do you realize that they found the notes of the bishop in his drawer that paid off the children and family to shut up? Mm. Not only paid them off, he actually had a list of the payment for each sex crime. Fondling was $50,000. Actual intercourse was $150,000. They would pay off. He had a list. Oh, this is going to hit the news. This is next. Oh, Satan's ready. People, it's all coming. You can be ready. Then, as you hear it and see it, you're going to know. Hey. God must have obviously been speaking through Bishop Weiser on this one.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
That's what you need to do. I told you before, man, the ministers coming through, they aren't up to par. They're behind. They're way behind. You know why they're behind? They got to keep the money to keep the lights on in their churches that are closed all week. At least we know here, we're trying to keep the lights on and keep everything going for you to have a home every day.
Amen.
That's what it's about. Not just on Sunday. And that's what it needs to be. You're going to inherit it. You know what? All of us have an inheritance. Remember the prodigal son?
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line, people, you use up all your inheritance. It's okay. You still have eternal, everlasting life.
Mm.
That's what you inherit. That's the most critical part. Because we're not perfect. We never will be. For I was, now he says, this was prepared from the foundation of the world. So this is saying from the foundation of the world. Remember Jesus says, I am the rock. From the foundation of the world. That means God's plan, his foundation for man, is what we're going to hear. This was the whole purpose, God's whole plan, everything, was he wanted a people that would care for each other and love each other. In a world that would grow into what you see today. Materialistic, just like Satan showed Jesus up on the mountain. You can have all this glory. You see out there, you can have all the Walmarts and the gambling and the alcohol and the opiates and all of it you can have. It's all yours. For I was a-hungered and you gave me meat, and I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say to them, Verily I say unto you, that's personal, he's using ye, now he says you. He says, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it, unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now one thief looked at Jesus and said, You have done nothing wrong. One. And Jesus said, if you love me and truly have hope, because we go to Jesus, and we go to Jesus as a sinner, don't we? We go there as a guilty sinner, a filthy rag deserving the fires of hell. And he says, child, you have done nothing wrong. You're forgiven. And that's what that is in a day when you have addictions, you have mass incarcerations, you have people in hopelessness hurting out there, and you say to them, you've done nothing wrong. It's not your fault. Jesus says, you've done it to me. You see, we can't understand that yet, but we will. we look at that and we say, well, you mean so helping these people like this and tell you know nothing wrong. Well, you don't look like Jesus. You all look different to me. But I can know in my heart that that's what we're doing. But one day it's going to be real. You're going to understand that. And he says it as much as you've done it, to the least of these you've done it unto me. So they're taking prayer, well, I helped the sick, I helped the poor, I did what you taught, but was it you? Was it you? No, Jesus says, yeah, it was. We can't fathom that right now or grasp it, but he, can you imagine that? Every person you do that, you're doing it to him. Can you imagine how that makes him feel? See? He knows that. He experiences that. But that's the good side. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I want you to notice the first thing he does. He automatically comes out and says, ye cursed, away from me. No explanation, nothing. But he's going to give it to us here so we understand. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat, and I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Life eternal. You want to change that? Go right ahead. You are responsible. The church today is responsible. That's all you're responsible for right there. If the ministers would have taught properly a few decades ago, the world would be a lot better place. Mm-hmm. Especially the United States is supposed to be built on God, but that didn't happen. And it's not going to get any better. You're not going to go pray about it. Let's go pray about it. You can watch my series on that. Let's go pray about it. You know what? People have been praying about it for decades and decades.
God knew it.
Worse.
Got worse.
You know why? You're right, because a bunch of hypocrites and vipers been praying. Mm-hmm. Let's go pray around the flagpole.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, go pray around the flagpole. We're there praying. Let's go pray about it. That's what I get. You go, now, well, we gotta pray about it. I'll tell you what, you pray about it, I'll go do it.
Right.
Amen.
I'll go get it done. You just pray about it.
Amen.
Oh, we better start. Let's open up a church for the homeless. We better pray about it. Oh, okay. So you're going to tell God what to do is what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. We better pray about it. No, there's no praying about a command. When Jesus, he commanded. That's it. He commanded you love one another. That was it.
Right, he didn't say pray about it.
He commanded it. You better give up your life.
Right.
For my name's sake, or you're going to lose it. He commanded it. You don't pray about that.
Right.
You better get out of that.
Talk to them.
Wouldn't that be terrible? You go out there and do all your religious duties, and then you find yourself in hell. Imagine that hell. Mm-hmm. Not gonna work.
I'm gonna pray out of hell.
That's what this salvation church is all about here for. Something that you really should study. It might save your soul from the fires of hell. I tread lightly anymore, I really do. I've gone on 18 years. I've witnessed enough, I've seen enough, I've experienced enough that all I want right now is to talk to Jesus. I really... You've realized in 18 years, other than that Pastor Moyer was the only one, he's come down every year for the tent revival for a long time. He supports the ministry. I don't talk to him, I just talk to him once a year when he comes here. He supports. He's very quiet that way, but they support. He's it. That's it. That's it. I've talked to hundreds of the forked tongues. None of them. They're all talkers. Talk.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nowhere around. Talk.
Let them go pray about it.
Yeah, go pray. That's what they do. But you know what they do? As soon as they want to look good or something wants out there, they'll send them the jab.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get a phone call. Oh, so-and-so out there, yeah, he's in this, that, and he's that. You can help him. They'll call me up and say, oh, yeah, this person told me to call you. Why aren't they helping you?
That's right.
You're called by the same Bible and the same God I am.
Right.
Mm. Mm.
Because they don't know how. Sad. None. You don't see any ministers around, do you?
No.
Huh? A lot of you have been here a long time. If you watch a minister come up to that door.
Ain't seen one come in here.
Huh? Well, if you're lucky, who is that? Who?
I don't see one come in here.
Who? I'm not trying to be an owl. I'm asking you who.
What? That was me that said it.
Huh?
That I said I ain't seen one come in here. No minister, no minister.
Let me try this again.
Who what?
Who was it?
Nobody.
Are we up in the shop or what?
No, he said, who was it?
No, because he asked, has there been a minister that came in the door and you said, yeah.
No, I said, ain't seen one come in here.
Oh, you said, I thought you said you seen one.
No, I said, ain't seen one.
Oh, okay.
That's why I didn't get where the who was coming from.
No, that's it, you won. It's sad. There's something wrong.
I don't know what he was talking about.
It's not right.
It's not.
What the answer is just what I said. We're transitioning into the dispensation. People are warning about the coming of Christ, the coming of Christ. They don't understand what needs to take place. All the people are caught up on the rapture. They don't know what they're talking about. That's not the next great event. It's the great white throne judgment. Why is that the next great event? Because Christ said so, right here, I read it to you. He directed right to it. Yeah, the rapture's going to take this so-called taking up. It's going to take place. It's not going to be the next great event. Another deceitful, wicked heart being misled. They put out, a 17-volume series on the Left Behind series. Millions of dollars is a joke. And your deceitful, wicked hearts fell for that all over the world. It's nowhere in the Bible. Put a 17-volume series together about helping the homeless in Matthew 25, 31, 46. No one will buy it. Why? Because Jesus is commanding that this is what you must do. Oh, I don't want to do that, but I'll sit down and read a Left Behind series because it tickles my ears and it touches my emotions. I don't do a darn thing. That's of Satan, the angel of light, if there ever was. Buses crashing and airplanes. Where's that in here? Clothes left behind. I can't read any of that in here. People are going to just poof and their clothes are going to be laying there. Yeah, I love that I start hearing. Every time I think that, I hear that song, Dirty Laundry, you know? Yeah, who's going to go around pick up all the clothes and wash them? You know, here come DP galloping in and with codes and everything like that, say it's unsanitary. Then who are you going to arrest on that one, government? It's messed up. That was the lie. That happened. That was the beginning of that stuff. It was the beginning when you started seeing those major things come out. What's the last biggest evangelical scheme that you've heard of since the Left Behind series? Remember the prayer Jabez swept through? That little book is called the prayer Jabez. It swept through there for a little bit. It's gone, and that's not of God. That was another thing, just to make money. What's the latest thing?
TV jokes.
But there's really nothing. But pretty soon there'll be something. But it's going to be more severe this time. Yeah, you don't see anything. Like I said, where's this next great minister is going to go talk to the president since Billy Graham? No, there is. It's done. We diluted it. The church has died. So when the church is dying, God's going to bring a new dispensation in place, and that's where we're at right now. You have an opportunity to hear it. You're living in great times for God, if that's what you want. But a wicked, deceitful heart will pull you right away from it. It will. It'll bring you right back to the old way. See, it's no different, people, than our addictions. Don't you get it? What's the first thing you do with your addictions? You change people, places, and things, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to. Yep, same thing with this religion. It has destroyed it. If we keep going back to it, it's not going to do any good. People are still going to die. How do we answer that? I want to get people saved. Get people saved. And why are so many dying from addictions and crimes and being incarcerated? Something's wrong. But everybody keeps going back to that Sunday church. Now, I'm not saying to close churches down. Nothing like that. I'm just telling you, the church age is changing. That means it's not the building and your programmed Sunday services. It has to be living the life of Christ daily.
Amen.
Daily. Churches open daily 24/7. Daily with food. Daily with aid. Daily with help. Daily. Everywhere, not just here, everywhere in the cities, open daily. Let them come as they are, open daily. That's why God, Christ, listen, people, that's why he closes the door at the banquet. And he says to the virgins, you can't come in, because we've done the same thing to his children. We've closed our churches up and left them outside. That's why Jesus said, you're going to be ready, and it's time to get ready. You know, there's a time, and it's now. When telling people about Jesus, and again, that'll always be, but during the dispensation, it's now you start living for Jesus and his life that is needed. A lot of you out there that's been through here, you say this, and I'm saying it because you say this. You say if this place wouldn't have been here a certain time in your life, you'd probably be dead or in prison. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
That's what that is. Facts. The dispensation of the coming of Christ is what enables this to be here.
Amen.
You understand that? Everything I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You still tell people about Jesus. But now it goes beyond that. This is it. It needs to be 24/7.
Amen.
It's time. We're in a dispensation now. We can see it. Homelessness, people incarcerated, nowhere to go. Mental health people, nowhere to go. You understand? All that. Now it's here. The signs are there. We just got to do it. But you aren't going to have ministers to do that because there's still decades behind, and they were not called for it. They need to step down out of the road. They need to listen is what they need to do. But nobody wants to listen everywhere because everybody thinks they have their own message. Everybody thinks they have their own. You know what? The message of Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's all given. But no, ministers, you don't have the same ordained calling for this dispensation. Because if you did, you would see other churches opened up like this. You would see it happening.
Amen.
But now wait a minute. People say that there are other ones out there. Show me their records. Not going to be like this. No, it isn't. Remember I told you about state parole. They looked at it all. Nobody else is going to have SOs for 8 years, the most ever in the state of Pennsylvania in one place with a zero recidivism rate.
Amen.
No one. That's God. You understand? That's the dispensation. That's showing whoever wants to look at it. Any man of God who truly is a man of God and wants truth will look at it and say, oh, that's God. I surely didn't do it. You didn't do it. It's God. But they don't want to listen. They all have their own things to do. Isn't it sad? You do, don't you? But yet then I can't stand why I have to hear on the radio, you know, it'll be coming up pretty soon. Pretty soon. The food bank's all empty. Come on. Well, wait a minute. How many churches, 13 churches in Brockway, how many in Newport? And all of what are you talking about? So you're not even, you can't even fill the food banks up without that being a problem. Really? So then what are you doing? Well, we're getting school lunches for the children. How many churches are there? That shouldn't even be an issue. That should just be a given, done, over. Not a problem with society with so many people. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing for Christ? Just ask him. You know, there's a difference, people, between works and doing a good work to Christ. I guess we miss that one. See, works is going through religious acts thinking that you're pleasing God. That won't get you to heaven. That'll get you to hell. But doing good works to Christ, is essential to your salvation. Now notice what I said, doing good works to Christ, not good works. Jump ahead here real quick to Matthew 26, verse 10. This is right after the Great White Throne Judgment. Jesus is now preparing to die for your sins. Verse 10, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why troubles ye the woman? For she has wrought a good work upon me. Now some say this is Mary of Magdalene. Comes in and uses this oil that was very precious. And right away the disciples got indignant over this. And what purpose is this waste? Waste of money, so they tried to justify it, you know, by saying, you know, this ointment we could have sold and given to the poor. Wow. Huh, really? Look what's happened to today's society. Do you think we really would have kept that up? Seriously. When Jesus understood it, he said, why trouble ye the woman? For she has wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. Notice that he said the poor, not poverty. Not hopelessness. He said the poor. It's okay to be poor. We're all poor, I would say. Pretty close, and I think we're eating pretty good. And, you know, we're doing all right. But poverty and hopelessness, no. For in that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say to you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman has done, be told for a memorial of her. That's the life of Christ. You do work unto him. Because he has done an amazing work unto you. He died for your sin and loves you. See, it's when we do works of religion, we go out and think our religious acts is what gets us to heaven. No, that's wrong. But when you do works unto Christ, that's why he said the great white throne judgment, in as much as you've done it unto one of the least of these, you've done it to me. So when you do that work of love and help to another, that's doing it unto Jesus. And Jesus says right here that what this woman has done, a work unto me, should be heralded with all the gospel always throughout the world. What work are you doing unto Jesus every day? You following the good heart? Are you being misled? See, a deceitful and wicked heart is going to mislead your deceitful and wicked heart. And because of it, in the condition that we're in, because of it, a lot of you are in the positions in your life and the circumstances that you're in. And it all can be changed. All can be changed. All you have to do is desire that good part, just like this woman, to do a good work unto Christ. Him. And remember that when you do it unto another, you're not doing it to the person. You're doing it for Jesus, unto Jesus. And you need to treasure that in your heart.
Amen.
Amen. You need to bow to the Jesus within the human. Because he's there. Until he takes that from that individual if they don't want it. That means you take your shoes off, if you remember that sermon.
Mm-hmm.
You're standing on holy ground. And show them a light, people. And if necessary, use words. Be careful how you do that. Remember the thief on the cross. He just knew what Jesus stood for was right. Don't turn Jesus into somebody he isn't. He was a man that loved and healed and accepted and talked with and was there and fed and fought for. Jesus wasn't a real personable person. He made you nervous. He would have made you nervous. Didn't have a real whole lot to say. But when he did speak, he meant something. He walked away many a times. He cares for every single one of us. Do you truly have the life of Christ? Your soul. Not because you say so. Because you cannot know the heart. But because that good part of your heart you know that Christ has touched. And it really means something to you. And it goes beyond just sharing that with others now. That's a given. The world needs to see his life now from the true believers. And this message needs to get out there.
Amen.
The sooner it does, I pray the sooner Christ will return, so less people have to suffer through this addiction and suffering of the opiates and what's to come. Amen.
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 Amen. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord, for another night here, and tomorrow night we just ask for your guidance throughout this week, tomorrow night, whatever you have for us, Lord. We ask that you just settle our hearts, humble it, that we would apply the word, that we would just continue to evaluate our hearts, to look out into the world, Lord, to see the news and what's going on, and to avoid it, to know that we must take a stand, that there's something, that this just is not right. Maybe we don't even know what we can do. We don't, but we know that your life is the right thing. Let our hearts, our minds, our soul want to be led. Want to be led to serve Jesus. Not a religion, not a man-made way. To serve the true Jesus, the truth of life that the world needs. To help the hopeless have hope. Those who've been misdirected to get their path straight. These are the things we desire. To provide for that, each person to have a chance at that kind of life. A life with you. Help us to be sincere about it. And all of us that are here, help us to use the ministry wisely so it can grow to continue to be a light on the hill for the others that come through it in their time of need. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, let's close up by forming some groups again.
Thank you for listening to my sermon. Please continue to listen to others, for they're all connected. There's so much information I'd like to share with you. I have books available, teaching available. You may contact me directly at Bishop Jack Weiser, 814-590-3898. You ever know of anybody in need, please have them call. As Lord leads, we'll do our best to help them in their time of need. May God richly